look, there's so much else going on. For example, what our government is now doing, there's a lot of people totally freaked out by, you know, the art of intrusion, frankly, the government listening in. Now, on the one side, we've got people willing to die and drive airplanes into things that need to be caught and killed. On the other side, we have people's privacy. Those are two weighty issues. So.
A true conundrum.
Oh, man, big one. What do you think?
Well, I think like most other things, it's a matter of balance. You need to balance the competing issues in a way that makes sense without going too far off in one direction or another. If you go too far in one way, you're not going to catch the bad guys, perhaps.
Yeah.
If you go too far in the other way, you might become like the bad guys.
Yeah.
By eviscerating civil liberties.
All right,
somewhere
well,
in the middle there has to be a happy medium.
All right. You've described the problem very well. If you were in front of a Senate committee and they were to ask you for a recommendation about how much oversight there ought to be.
That's the magic word.
What would you be saying?
Yeah, that word oversight is the key to the whole thing.
Uh-huh, I know.
The idea is that as long as you have enough different branches of government involved, of which we only have basically three, you help to minimize the potential for risks and for abuse. That's why, of course, there's all this current controversy over the NSA domestic program listening to certain international calls.
Yeah.
And primarily, I think the view is from Congress certainly that if there was appropriate oversight, a program like that might be very, very valuable. But without oversight, that's when you start to have questions of who's making the decisions about particular taps, how long the information is being retained, all those sorts of things. And then you have ways that all of this applies to the Internet, too.
But it's getting so damn complicated and convoluted with the technology involved that I don't know how the people assigned oversee do their job.
Well that's, the technology can help to solve those problems just like it... Just like it creates them in some cases. Remember, oversight doesn't necessarily mean real time.
You mean the minutiae of monitoring what they're doing?
Right. In a lot of cases, what oversight means is having appropriate reporting so that you can judge to what extent what's been going on was proper and didn't go too far.
Yeah, oversight also has to look at whether the reporting is even accurate.
And then you have, and on top of that, you have the issue of archives, right? What happens to the information? So, for example, if people are being tapped, and it turns out that they had nothing to do with terrorism, which reportedly is pretty much what's happened most of the time with this domestic program.
Well, in fact, the other day, you know, I heard a report that they only had like 10 or 12 things even of interest, which is a little difficult to believe, considering the probably billions of things they have to monitor.
Well, right, that's exactly right. And then the question comes up, well, what happened to the information from the people that weren't interesting? And we don't know that. Was that information thrown out? Was it stored somewhere? Is it still in the files? Without oversight, like you said, we don't really know what's happening to the innocents that get swept up in what could otherwise be useful programs. So that's really where that ends up. And that's why so many people have been concerned. For example, it's the same thing with the Internet. There's been a lot of concern about the government going after Internet records. And people are concerned, well, what happens to the records that aren't involved in these cases?
Right.
Are the subpoenas, are the requests appropriate given what you're trying to accomplish? So there's lots of problems that relate in this area.
Tons of them. In fact, it's almost completely unmanageable from my point of view. I just don't see how it can be managed, and I don't see how the oversight can be effective. And yet, I have to yet hear of my first case, maybe you can correct me, of somebody who, I don't know. Let's say they were talking about cheating on their taxes, and the NSA picked it up and passed it on to the IRS. I've not heard of one case of something like that. Have you?
I don't think that's the kind of thing that's likely to come up in those contexts. I mean, NSA does have rules concerning what's called minimization, which is basically when you hear things that you're not supposed to hear, you kind of get rid of the identifying parts of it if it's outside your mission. On the other hand, with the domestic program that's currently in controversy, there are concerns that some of the information that might have been picked up through the warrantless wiretaps might have been used to then get warrants for wiretaps.
Hmm.
And that, from a legal standpoint, gets very, very complicated very quickly.
Huh.
So we don't really know. At this stage, I guess there's more congressmen now who have been briefed to a certain extent than there were a couple of weeks ago. But this is the problem we're faced. Now, obviously, you can't have every intelligence program out in the open, or otherwise it's not going to do a lot of good. But there are ways to build these things within the law and to have oversight that doesn't disrupt the programs but gives you some assurance that these programs falling into the wrong hands won't cause a lot of grief. Because remember, somewhere down the line, these same capabilities are going to be in the hands of future presidents.
Yes.
Future administrations. And we don't know who those are going to be.
All right. Let me put you in a tough spot. Let's say you're the president of the United States right now, not George Bush. And they come to you and they say, Mr. President, look, we really do have a serious problem with Al-Qaeda and organizations like. The only way we can protect the country that you have sworn to protect is to listen for plans of the enemy. We have the capability to do it. Here's the paper, Mr. President. Sign on the dotted line. Would you sign that paper?
I'd have to see the paper first. But the real answer to the question is that if I was the president of the United States and I was dissatisfied with the state of the current legal intelligence apparatus, what you could do legally, or what you could do under the FISA court, which is the court that approves these things, I would say, all right, let's change that law. Let's get a change in the law that allows us to do what we need to do. And there's ways to do this without it being all out in the open. Congress has ways of dealing with highly secure information.
It can be done without a modification of the Constitution, for example?
Presumably there's a way. The Constitution presumably has a way to deal with these situations. there are very broad interpretations, but I personally would want to have it on the books, in the law, because you have the future to worry about. You do have to worry about what future presidents, future Congresses are going to do with these kinds of capabilities.
Yes, but all laws really must withstand the test of the Constitution, ultimately, right?
Ultimately, yes. Though, of course, it takes a long time in some cases to do that.
Well, that's a good point.
You have to go through various courts. The Supreme Court may look at it. They may say, not today, bring it back in a year.
Very good point.
Lower court.
Good point. So they could get, presumably, several years of whatever they needed before it was struck down and they were told they can't do it.
Sure. Exactly.
Gotcha.